Hello, it's your friend CJ Werlemann, and in today's episode, we dive into a topic the US mainstream media believes to be too hot to touch. We are talking about the killing of American citizens by the state of Israel. But first, please remember to like and subscribe to our show. Now let's get into it. Millions of American voters are finally waking up to reality. And by reality, I mean an overwhelming majority of the United States now understands that Israel represents a clear and present danger to the country.
The biggest threat to U.S. sovereignty is Israel. Trump signed a peace deal. 6 days later, Israel violated it.
What Americans are waking up to, more than anything else, is the manner in which Israel has taken total and complete ownership of their elected politicians, who are elected to serve their constituents, not the interests of a foreign power, especially one that has essentially pillaged and stolen America's wealth. Please, this is not hyperbole. This is just an observable fact, given the cost paid by American taxpayers to fight Israel's wars has exceeded $8 trillion. That's $8 trillion with a capital T, a hefty and unaffordable sum, with U.S. national debt surpassing a whopping $38 trillion last week. Needless to say, record levels of debt translate to a record level of problems. This now unservable debt is why the rate of poverty, homelessness, and suicide has reached unprecedented heights in the United States today. A chain reaction caused partly by the billions of dollars doled out each year to Israeli Jews in the form of national welfare, and mostly by the trillions of dollars paid to fight Israel's wars in the Middle East. Americans might not agree on much these days, but today, Democrats, Republicans, Christians, Muslims, and atheists are uniting in greater numbers against the Zionist state.
The anti-Zionist train is leaving the station. Libertarians are on the train. Democrats are on the train. Independents are on the train. Middle-aged people are on the train. Young people are on the train. Progressives are on the train. A large segment of conservatives are now on the train. Candace Owens' followers are on the train. Tucker Carlson's followers are on the train. Jimmy Dore's followers are on the train. Joe Rogan's followers are on the train. Dave Chappelle's followers are on the train. Billions of people worldwide are on the train leaving the Zionist cult.
Americans now realize there are only five types of politicians in the United States. They're either bought by Israel, blackmailed by Israel, are dual citizens of Israel, are scared to death of Israel, or are killed by Israel. Americans now recall former presidents sounding this alarm.
Let me explain something about what is called the Jewish lobby in this country. Their belief is that being for Israel first, that does not mean you're putting America second. An American president, however, has to approach it in a different way, in my opinion. He's got always to think first of what is best for America. An American president must make a decision that does not, in effect, give the Israelis a blank check. And one example of that is a decision that I made. I decided early on in our administration that we were going to seek good relations with Egypt and others of Israel's neighbors. Many of my Israeli friends didn't like that because they wanted a special relationship with Israel and Israel.
President Nixon should know better than most about the coercive, corrupting, and deadly influence Israel has over America's political class, given his predecessor and former electoral opponent, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, was assassinated by Israeli intelligence operatives. We know this to be true because recently released declassified documents reveal Israel was outraged by JFK's decision to prevent Israel from obtaining nuclear weapons.
The other problem Kennedy faced with Israel was the construction of the atomic reactor at Dimona. JFK was strongly against any proliferation of nuclear weaponry. He had been assured by Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion that Dimona was designed for peaceful uses of atomic energy. In the spring of 1963, Kennedy demanded full inspections by the U.S. of the Dimona reactor and threatened to place American aid for Israel in limbo if no agreement were reached. And at the time of his assassination, negotiations were in process for biannual inspections.
JFK was assassinated just 2 months after he demanded full inspection of Israel's nuclear reactors. For this very reason, among many others, famed American historian Martin Sandler urged his fellow citizens to forget about JFK assassination conspiracies, which wrongly blamed the CIA, the Mafia, and Fidel Castro, and instead spend more time focusing on Israel's culpability.
There's a very surprising series of letters between Kennedy and David Ben-Gurion, not only the prime minister, premier of Israel, but the founder of Israel, in which they're very angry letters, in which Kennedy is saying to Ben-Gurion, I'm killing myself trying to get a nuclear test ban treaty. I've even got De Gaulle on board, and that's impossible. And you keep testing in Dimona. You've got to stop. And Ben-Gurion, thank you, in so many words says, it's easy for you to say sitting in Hyannisport. I'm sitting with the Arabs all around me, and you want me to give up nuclear testing. And Kennedy threatens him. And he threatens him in such a way that Ben-Gurion resigns. And I will tell you that I found articles, not in any crackpot publications, but in very sophisticated publications saying, forget Lyndon Johnson, forget the CIA, forget Fidel Castro. The Mossad killed Kennedy because they were so upset over what he did to Ben-Gurion.
When Israel isn't killing American presidents, it's using compromat to blackmail him into advancing Israel's strategic interests. Like Netanyahu did when he used tapes of President Clinton's telephone sex calls with Monica Lewinsky to blackmail the White House into releasing Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard, who'd been spying on the United States government and the American people. He delivered more than 800 highly classified US military documents to the Israeli government over a 17-month period, secrets that ultimately weakened America's national security, an act of sabotage consistent with a determined enemy, not that of a so-called loyal ally.
In a scandal that has been largely lost to contemporary memory, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was alleged to have blackmailed then-President Bill Clinton by revealing to him that Israel had collected tapes of phone sex calls between the 42nd president and White House intern Monica Lewinsky. The story is worth revisiting amid allegations that Jeffrey Epstein was involved in a long-running Israeli blackmail operation of his own. Netanyahu approached Clinton privately to demand the release of convicted Israeli spy Jonathan Pollard, long a cause celeb of the Israeli far right. That's according to reporting at the time from the New York Times. Now, Netanyahu brought up the sex tapes in the context of the Pollard demand, according to subsequent reporting by Washington Examiner editor Daniel Harper in his book, Clinton, Inc., The Audacious Rebuilding of a Political Machine. He writes, quote, not wanting to directly threaten the powerful American president, a crucial Israeli ally, Clinton was told that the Israeli government had thrown the tapes away, but the very mention of them was enough to constitute a form of blackmail.
Former CIA analyst John Kirakow explains how Israeli spies have infiltrated every level of the United States.
Even our friends spy on us. He said, many of you will come into contact with the two Israeli intelligence officers who are based at the Israeli embassy in Washington. There's a representative from Mossad and a representative from Shin Bet. He said, the FBI has been able to identify 187 undeclared Israeli Mossad agents spread all across the United States.
Wow.
Spying on our defense contractors to steal our defense secrets. Now, we give the Israelis 99% of what we have. They want to steal that last 1%.
We also know that deceased pedophile sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein worked for and with Israeli intelligence agencies, using underage girls to lure influential and powerful American citizens into so-called honey traps, or rather, situations or crimes that can be used against an individual at a later date. And we also know that President Trump is named in the Epstein files, which explains why he has not only allowed Netanyahu to treat him like a fool, but also why Trump released an Israeli diplomat who had been convicted for trying to rape American children in the state of Nevada earlier this year.
So here's what the declaration of arrest from the Henderson Police Department says about the arrest of Tom Alexandrovich, again, an Israeli official who was allowed to fly back to Israel immediately after he was caught trying to lure a minor for sex in an FBI and local police department sting operation.
Israel has long operated as a sanctuary for Jewish pedophiles who rape American children before fleeing to the Zionist state, where they are protected from the long arm of the US justice system, as we reported in a recent episode, and as was reported by CBS 5 years ago.
A CBS News investigation has uncovered a loophole that allows accused and convicted American pedophiles to escape justice by moving to Israel. So Ian Lee has been following this for more than a year, and he traveled to Israel for this investigation. He worked with a group that tracks people accused of sex crimes, which estimates dozens of Americans have used this loophole.
The list of Americans harmed and killed by Israel is far too long to cover in a single episode. We are talking about journalists, activists, diplomats, soldiers, and ordinary US citizens. But we start with the fact that there's no denying Israel's ties to this September 11 attacks, which not only killed 3,000 US citizens on that fateful day, but also resulted in the deaths of 10,000 US servicemen throughout the Middle East, Africa, and Asia in the decade that followed.
You take out Saddam's regime, I guarantee you that it will have enormous positive reverberations on the region. And I think that people sitting right next door in Iran, young people, and many others will say, the time of such regimes, of such despots, is gone. There is a new age, something new is happening.
In 1954, Israel attacked American military bases and diplomats in Egypt, but blamed the attacks on the Muslim Brotherhood and Arab nationalists to keep the US outraged and engaged militarily in the region, a false flag attack that later became known as the Levon Affair. You see, attacking and killing Americans has long been Israel's modus operandi for duping and dragging the United States into fighting its wars in the Middle East. But Americans are now finally catching on.
Let's say there's terrorists in a school. Do we bomb our children? Do we bomb the kids? How many innocent lives? About 300. How many bad guys? Just six of them. Bomb them all! Well, October 7th. Hey, what about the hospitals? There's three or four bad guys in there. Bomb it all! What kind of sick mentality is that? If my neighbor does horrific things in my home, do I get to massacre my entire neighborhood and then decide, you know what? Now I'm going to go to Bonita Springs, and then I'm going to go to Georgia, and then I'm going to convince America that we should fight another country and take that leader out because I said they're bad. Makes you wonder who's running our country.
22 years ago, Israel tried to frame the death of American peace activist Rachel Corrie on Hamas, but only to admit later she was murdered by Israeli soldiers while peacefully protesting the demolition of Palestinian homes.
On March 16, 2003, in Gaza, 23-year-old American activist Rachel Corrie stood in front of an Israeli bulldozer trying to stop the demolition of a Palestinian family's home. Just months earlier, she was a college student in Washington State, passionate about peace and human rights. She wrote in her journal, "We are all born and someday we'll all die, but I refuse to just live quietly." That day, as the bulldozer advanced, Rachel refused to move. Moments later, she was crushed and killed, her death sparking global outrage and fierce debate.
Israel also murdered my friend and colleague, Shireen Abu Akleh, a Palestinian-American journalist who was deliberately shot and killed by Zionist forces during an Israeli raid on Palestinian homes in the occupied West Bank in May of 2022.
An independent investigation has found that the murder of Shireen Abu Akleh by Israeli soldiers was deliberate. The probe was jointly carried out by London-based Forensic Architecture and Al-Haq, a human rights group. Al Jazeera provided material for the analysis. The investigation, reconstructed in this video and animation, studied the precise angle of the Israeli sniper, location of the journalist, the rate of fire, and the number of bullets used. It rules out any possibility of confrontations between Israeli forces and Palestinian gunmen in the occupied West Bank at the time of Shireen's killing.
Israel has now killed more journalists during the past 2 years than the total number of journalists killed during the First and Second World Wars combined. Its sense of impunity knows no bounds, which will send a chill down the back of every American spine, as illustrated by the threats made against Morgan Ariel, a Christian cultural commentator who received credible death threats from an Israeli Defense Force sniper on US soil. She went to the police. She even reported him to the FBI. But nobody cares because he's an Israeli soldier.
Hi guys, just wanted to come on here and provide everybody with an update to let you know that I went to the police and like I said, they did absolutely nothing. They put it on record. I sent some documents to them and that's about the end of that. They basically just told me that I should block them. That was their advice to me. I reported it to the FBI yesterday, and then I actually called in to the FBI today and then re-reported it because I wanted to make sure that something was going to be done about it, at which point they told me that they had no other questions for me and that they could not tell me whether or not I would be receiving any calls from them or any updates regarding the situation. I also tried to call the Attorney General, who basically told me that unless I have a lawyer representing me, that there's nothing that they're going to be able to do for me. So nobody seems to care at all. But if you are a Zionist or a Jew, Pam Bondi and Cash Patel will personally get involved for themselves. So
Israel is not only trying to silence her voice, but also the voice of any American who stands up and criticizes the Jewish state. It's waging an online propaganda campaign the likes we have never seen before, and it's pressuring social media companies into silencing and suppressing pro-Palestine accounts. Israel has successfully pressured YouTube into demonetizing more than 25,000 channels, including ours, which means our survival is solely dependent on those who kindly and generously support our team via membership on Patreon. Therefore, we kindly ask that you please join them in supporting our effort to expose and confront injustices in the Muslim world by becoming a member at patreon.com/CJWerlemann. We can't produce, sustain, and grow the show without your help, and we offer exclusive benefits and content to those who do. But for now, good night, good morning, wherever you are, and stay blessed.